This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're glad you've tuned us in, and we trust the program encourages you and challenges you and blesses you. And we trust that maybe you'll learn something as well. Now, for those of you who would like to contact me, go to my website, bdcministries.com. That's all one word, lowercase, bdcministries.com. You can use the email address or the postal address that's given there, and this program can be re-listened to there. You can also download the program to your own computer from there. You can also reach me at Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. And we would love to take any comments that you have on the program or any prayer requests that you might want to leave with us. We would take those comments or prayer requests seriously. Now, as we've come into the new year, we've begun trying to look at words that are significant when it comes to understanding the gospel and when it comes to understanding the Lord himself. And we're trying to keep it simple so that we can remember what we've been looking at. So first of all, we looked at appropriately beginnings at the first of the year. Beginnings. We've looked at warnings. We've looked at worry. We've looked at hope, that is the scriptural hope, where we are anticipating a future, a certain future. That's the scriptural hope. We don't hope to be saved, but because we're saved, we have something to look forward to that is certain. And then we looked at the word faith, which is obviously associated with the word belief, and we could spend a lot of time on the word faith, but basically we've tried to emphasize that faith is the link that brings us into relationship with the Lord himself. And we've looked at the word lost, which is important because the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. And I know many people who say they're saved, but they have never found out that they were in need of salvation. They say they were always believers. They were always saved. And that doesn't stand the test of Scripture. We are lost before we are saved. And then we looked at a word that I've already been using, that word saved, the matter of being delivered from something or being delivered for something, and the word salvation is associated with it. And today we talk about people having a relationship with God, but often we don't use the word saved, but it's a word that is found throughout Scripture and is a word that we need to understand. We who are believers have been saved from the penalty that we deserve, because we are sinners by nature and sinners by practice. Now today I want to go to another word that we often use in connection with the gospel, and that's the word grace. Now, the word grace would be defined as favor or as something that is undeserved. We often look at grace as a free gift. Now, there's two words for gift in the Scriptures. One of them is this word grace, which is the free gift. It's the enablings of the Holy Spirit, really. But then there's also the thing that is offered to us, and that's another word. I'm more concerned with grace or the favor that is shown to us as we look at that word today. But I should note for you that in Ephesians 2 and 8, both words are used. For by grace, or by favor, unmerited favor, by charis, the word we get charismatics from, for by grace you have been saved, there's that word again, through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Now here the gift is the present or the offering that we receive as a result of God's grace. So when we look at the gift itself, which could be an offering or something that does cost us, if we're looking at our giving gifts, that's the way we would use the word. But when we look at Chris, it's the kind of gift that is given, and God gives his gift of salvation freely to people who do not deserve it. It is a free gift. Now, the first time we come across this word grace in the Old Testament, and maybe not the very first time, but the first time that I remember, we read about Noah. And it says, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And you'll remember that in that day, the people had degenerated into a situation, a society much like we have today. The imagination of man's heart was only evil continually. And you'll remember that there were only 8 people saved out of that society, which is a concern to me because I wonder how many people today have really understood that their relationship with God is going to determine their destiny for eternity. And have they found the grace that Noah found? And so we read in Genesis 6 and verse 8 that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He found favor in the eyes of the Lord. It isn't that Noah was sinless. It isn't that Noah did everything right. But Noah did believe in Jehovah, and he worshiped him and him alone. And I believe that's the reason why he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. As a matter of fact, I'll go one step further and say that I really believe that this verse refers to the time when Noah came to faith in the Lord Jesus and when he was saved, in the sense that we use that word in the last program. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. We find this same concept in the book of Ruth. If you'll remember, in the book of Ruth, she was a Moabitish woman. She had married the son of Naomi, who had gone with her husband Elimelech to Moab during a famine in the land of Israel. But Naomi had lost her husband, and she had had 2 sons, and both of those sons had died, and so their widows were now left behind. One of the widows stayed behind when Ruth ended up going, or when Naomi ended up going back into the land of Israel when the famine was over. One of those widows stayed behind, but Ruth was one who followed Naomi. She said, "Where you go, I will go. Your God will be my God," and so forth. And when she got into the land of Israel, the Lord guided her to be taken care of by a man by the name of Boaz, who in fact is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And she was a stranger, a Moabite, that really had no place in the congregation of Israel for 10 generations. And yet she is finding favor with Boaz, who is guiding her into his field so that she can get something to eat. And she says in Ruth chapter 2 and verse 10, "So she fell on her face and bowed down to the ground and said to him, 'Why have I found favor or grace in your eyes that you should take notice of me, seeing I am a stranger?'" So she understood what it was like to get something that, naturally speaking, she did not deserve. And yet Boaz gave her that favor, that grace, and she was blessed because of it. And actually she became a mother in the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is a great blessing. A Moabitish woman, one who represents everything that we ought not to be. She ended up being converted, saved, and she ended up getting favor. She got all of those blessings because of undeserved favor. Now, when we look at the Lord Jesus, he is the one who is full of grace and truth. And I want to emphasize that because we not only have grace shown by the Lord, but he doesn't give up any truth to show us that grace. And so when we read about the Lord Jesus in John chapter 1 and verse 14, we read, and the Word is the expression of God, the Logos, the Word became flesh, that is, the Lord became flesh, and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And if we were to drop down to verse 17, we just read verse 14. In verse 17, it says, "The law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." Grace and truth. It's interesting that when we use the word grace, oftentimes we think about forgiving somebody who doesn't deserve to be forgiven, or we overlook their sin and we think we're showing them grace. Well, God doesn't do that. He maintains the truth of punishment against sin, but he does it by showing grace and bearing that punishment himself, so that the righteousness of God can be maintained while the grace of God can be shown to sinners. And so those of us who are saved have to recognize that the Lord is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but through him. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Truth is hard to find today, but we can find it in the Bible as it explains God's way of salvation and reveals to us who God is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And God is a God who is full of grace. He's controlled by grace. And that's interesting, because by nature, we have offended him and we are away from him, but he has given us the truth of the scripture, and the Holy Spirit uses it to convict us of righteousness, of sin and of righteousness, and of judgment to come. So the law was given through Moses, but the law never saved anyone. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ, and by dying for us at the cross of Calvary, God is offering to us a free gift, something that we don't deserve, and he is maintaining the truth of the need to punish sin, because he is a holy God. And so when we come to 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9, we read these words, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich." So here we have the grace of the Lord Jesus being shown. He had a preferred place in heaven, obviously. He is the unique Son of God. And God sent that Son, the Son of whom, the Son he loved. He tells us that when the Lord is baptized, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." He sent that Son to the cross of Calvary because of his love for us. And now he is demonstrating his grace in providing a way of escape so that God can be righteous and we can be saved and our sins can be forgiven. So you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich. He had all the blessings of heaven, yet for your sakes he became poor. That is, he became a man, and he went to the cross of Calvary, that you, through his poverty, might become rich. And when we are saved, we become rich, and we have received that which we did not deserve. And the Bible ends in Revelation 22, verse 21, with the idea of grace again. "The grace," or the charis, "of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." And so God, while in that book of Revelation describes judgment upon judgment, yet it's not the judgment that he wants to usher in. It's his grace, his unmerited favor, God's riches at Christ's expense, his free gift. And I hope that you're not trying to work to be worth God's salvation, because he just wants you to say thank you for the gift that he has provided in the person of his Son. Now, our Heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessing upon this program and upon all who are listening. We thank thee for thy love. In our Savior's name, amen.